Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, a growing number of people say they are using AI tools to help them land a job, the same tools many companies are using to streamline the hiring process, how artificial intelligence is changing the employment game. Also this morning in our community and business spotlight, details on the upcoming downtown chocolate tour to benefit the Vulnerable Children's Initiative from the United Way of Hancock County. It's going to be a nice weekend for some spring cleaning. The bulk trash drop-off site will be open for Findlay residents beginning tomorrow. And on Monday, you're invited to move with the mayor and help clean up Riverside Park at the same time. And putting a new twist on a traditional favorite in this week's collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, April 19th, 2024. It is official here. Kind of interesting. Ohio now has the highest tornado count in the nation so far this year. The National Weather Service says that there have been 35 confirmed twisters in the Buckeye State so far in 2024, more than any other state. And that count, kind of interesting, that count does not include the tornadoes that were reported to have spawned across Ohio from the storms that swept through earlier this week. Wednesday afternoon, they got some reported tornadoes in some spots. I think we were talking Crawford County had some wind damage. Whether or not it's tornado, not sure. Champaign County, there were some others as well. I think there were five tornadoes that were reported as part of that system on Wednesday. And so that has yet to be added to the total. Ohio is the most tornadic activity in the country so far this year. Kind of goes back to something we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about Tornado Alley moving east. More evidence of that, apparently. Kind of interesting. By the way, speaking of Ohio news, this is kind of interesting, especially since next week. I don't know if you know this or not, and we'll talk about it when we get a little closer during the course of the week next week. But there is a Veterans Resource Fair coming up next week in Findlay. Among the things that'll be happening, get information and signing people up to use the Findlay VA clinic that'll be opening later this year. And that is not the only VA news. The Dayton VA hospital, I saw this on the Newswire, now offering televisits for area veterans, tele-emergency visits. Virtual emergency room visits. Those who are enrolled for care in the Dayton VA can start using the service immediately by calling the VA and selecting option 3 to speak with triage staff, it says here. Doctors can offer remote treatments for issues like cold and flu, insect bites, minor infections, muscle sprains, and more. They say if you have a serious injury or a serious illness, you should still visit an ER in person, but this would be available for kind of minor things, and there is no copay for the service, which I thought was kind of interesting there. By the way, speaking of health, jumped out at me on the Newswire this morning, this story, and I have to think that maybe when you're doing those virtual doctor visits, patients are more likely to do this, but a new survey of 2,000 adults finds that more than two-thirds of Americans patient-splain online health information to their doctor. You're familiar with the term mansplaining, when guys have this innate need to explain things to women that we think they don't understand. Even if they do fully understand, we mansplain to them. And apparently we do it to our doctors too. 68% of Americans admit that they patient-splain to their doctor something that they have found online, health information they have found online. That's the definition of hubris, isn't it? When we feel that we need to mansplain to our doctors, 77% of those in the survey do health-related research on their own, and 30% of patients worry that the advice their doctor gives is not specific to their needs. As if Google is more specific to your needs than your doctor. Can we not do this here? 1/3 of those in the survey always or often tell their doctor about what's going on with their bodies. 42% think their health routine will need to change this year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that just jumped out at me. 2/3 of Americans patient-splain health information. I mean, what would possess you to do that? Hey, doc, let me tell you about something that I found online. Dr. Google says, and I'm guessing that doctors, I mean, obviously they know this. I'm sure that every doctor has experienced this. You know, just roll your eyes when one of your patients starts to mansplain something to you as if your medical degree is not good enough for your patients. I feel for you, doctors. I get you. So this was kind of interesting. Interesting story among the first things that you need to know this morning, and it's perfect. You're getting up and getting ready for your morning commute. A new report from the U.S. Energy Department finds that New York has the longest commute times of any state in the country. That is probably not surprising, but what I did find surprising from this research, the Department of Energy, they studied 9-to-5 workers, 9-to-5ers, and found those in New York spend an average of 33.2 minutes driving to work. So just a little over a half hour. It is the longest commute time in the nation. Maryland, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C. also spent more than 30 minutes driving one way to work. So those are at the top of the list. The rest of the top 10, Massachusetts, California, Illinois, Georgia, Virginia, and Florida. All right. So those are the top 10. At the bottom of the list with the shortest commute times, South and North Dakota, Wyoming, and Montana. The shortest one-way work commutes at just 17 to 18 minutes. And you think about the size of those states and the what is the word that I'm looking for? The condensed nature of the population in places like New York and California and D.C. and New Jersey versus the wide open spaces of the Dakotas, Wyoming, and Montana. And you would think that because people are more spread out in some of those states that the commute time would be more. But no, it all obviously has to do with the volume of traffic. And the fact that I'm sure South and North Dakota, Wyoming, and Montana drivers are moving much faster on their morning commute than the crawl of a major city like New York or Chicago or D.C., something like that. So I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Maybe not what you would expect, given the wide open spaces out west and the spread out population versus the population density. That's the word that I'm looking for, the population density of some of those more urban states. But obviously that contributes to overall commute times. Speaking of commutes, this will slow down your commute. On Nashville, on a Nashville highway on Wednesday, 43,000 pounds of powdered eggs were spilled on Interstate 24 East near I-65 North when a tractor trailer carrying the product overturned. 43,000 pounds of powdered eggs spilled onto the highway. It's 5:30 on Wednesday afternoon, so right around the evening commute. The road had to be shut down for a while as cleanup was taken. They cleaned up the mess, leaving commuters scrambling to find alternate routes, right? Commuters scrambled to find alternate routes because of the eggs on the powdered eggs on the highway, scrambled to find, you get it, ba-da-bum! There were, I know that was a long way to go for a really weak joke, but it says here there were no injuries or omelets reported, so things are back to normal. It's a good thing it's on the commute home. Can you imagine trying to explain that to your boss when you get to work late? I swear there were 43,000 pounds of powdered eggs on the highway. Was scrambling to find a way to work. And this may be one of the most bizarre stories, among the first things you need to know, most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. This may be raise an eyebrow. Washington State University. Researchers at Washington State have created a device that can identify spoiling wine a full month before human beings can detect any change. Currently, winemakers sniff or do Petri tests to detect spoilage in wine. But this device, they call it the e-tongue, can catch problems faster than other methods. The author of the study, Carolyn Ross, said, if you ran a sample using the electronic tongue, we could learn after 1 week if there is any contamination or a fault in the wine versus waiting up to 4 weeks running on just sensory testing. Professor Ross is currently looking for wineries who are interested in trying out the e-tongue. I think the first thing that they will need to do is come up with a better name. I mean, honestly, the e-tongue, that just sounds gross. You know what I mean? It just sounds gross. I get the idea, and I think it's a great idea, but you got to come up with a better name. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, mostly cloudy early today, then becoming sunny, a high around 60. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-40s. There was a fatal shooting at a business in Lipsick. The Putnam County Sheriff's Office says at 4:05 p.m. on Thursday, they received 911 calls about shots being fired at Kitchen Enterprises Trucking Company on Protech Parkway. When law enforcement and medical personnel arrived on the scene, they found a 30-year-old woman deceased. A 54-year-old man was also injured and transported to a hospital. Authorities say the suspect, a 26-year-old from Lima, fled the scene in a vehicle. He was pursued by several law enforcement agencies and eventually apprehended in Allen County. He was taken into custody and transported to the Putnam County Adult Detention Center. The case remains under investigation. The Ohio State Highway Patrol kicked off its 174th cadet class with signing day events at district headquarters across the state, including in Findlay, Lieutenant Scott Wickhouse.
Kind of a proud moment for them that they're signing and making a commitment to the Ohio State Highway Patrol and gives them a little more motivation to have their families be a big part of that.
As the lieutenant mentioned, recruits gathered at their closest district headquarters with family and friends to sign a letter of intent to become a member of the next academy class. Get more in the story on our website. The city of Findlay will be offering a bulk trash drop-off for Findlay residents from Saturday, April 20th to Saturday, April 27th in conjunction with Earth Week and the annual backyard mission trip on Saturday, April 27th. Dumpsters will be located at the Public Works Department at 330 North Corey Street, where residents may dispose of unwanted debris. And the city encourages people to take advantage of this opportunity and join them in working to keep our community clean. If you want to get your hands on one of the City of Findlay solar eclipse banners that have been lining Main Street, you're in luck. On Monday, the city will begin selling the banners on a first-come, first-served basis for $50. To purchase a banner, stop by the mayor's office on the third floor of the municipal building. Remember, you can get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Hey, remember the story we were talking about a week ago or so that a growing number of job seekers are using artificial intelligence in order to help them land a job, from using chatbots to practice their interviewing skills to, in some cases, having AI write cover letters or even help polish their resume. And while it may seem like that might undermine the hiring process, keep in mind that in many cases, companies and hiring managers are using these same tools to streamline the process on their end as well. Joining us this morning to talk about how AI is changing the employment game is Jason Kudrico, Senior Talent Strategy Advisor at Indeed, with more than two decades of experience in recruitment marketing. Fair to say, Jason, that this is the biggest change you have seen in your years of doing what you do?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for the opportunity. And to jump right in, yeah, right. It's changing. It's evolving. Is it the biggest? Maybe. Depends how you look at it. But it's definitely here. It's here to stay, and it's evolving. And it's definitely going to help you all as job seekers, as well as employers, bridge the communication gap that we're seeing today.
So as we said, both sides are using these AI tools, but do you see it as creating a benefit in the process or adding another challenge to the process, or, you know, some combination of both?
There's tons of benefits. And I hesitate when I say that, because there are some concerns, right? There's some concerns. Why? First and foremost, people have to learn how to utilize AI, utilize ChatGPT, utilize other Gen AI sort of forms. So there is that little angst and concern. That being said, I have a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old, right, that they're constantly on ChatGPT, probably more than they should be, i.e. doing schoolwork.
But right.
They're evolving. They're helping me. And I think as things progress, we have to evolve and be a part of it as well. It's daunting at its core, but once you walk in that door, you're like, wow, this is actually powerful, and it's actually helping me do my job and do my job better with regards to employers. But also as a job seeker, it's making your job to find a job that much easier.
Yeah. So explain some of the benefits and how in this changing environment, how do you leverage these tools?
At its core, right, the biggest challenges job seekers and employers are seeing is, in my eyes, a lack of communication between one another. Employers are speaking one language, job seekers are speaking another. Also, for job seekers, looking for a job, it's a full-time job. It's crazy, right? It's frustrating. It's time intensive. So they also have to rely on a piece of paper, their resume. They have to send a resume in and rely on that piece of paper to help tell the story of who they are as an individual. And that's frustrating. Job seekers ultimately need a better way to represent their skills and qualifications. Also, there needs to be that communication gap, and I think that's important.
So at Indeed, you have something you are launching now called Smart Sourcing. Explain what this is and how it will help job seekers and especially companies who are looking to hire.
So Smart Sourcing is a tool that ultimately is going to be powered by artificial intelligence. It's going to help bridge that communication gap. What we mean by that is employers will have an access to a large, active talent pool, over 300 million individuals that can be sourced, that can be found, can be searchable. Also, we're going to help connect the dots and speak the language that you're speaking. And what I mean by that is we are going to take their resume, the candidate's resume, and we're going to summarize it for you as an employer, based on your specific needs, on that job description, all right? We're going to put it in bullet points, and we're going to talk about, as I refer to, and I'm being dramatic when I say this, the good, the bad, the ugly, all right? We're going to talk about the good, meaning things match. What that candidate has and what you need, there's a solid match. The bad is the things that, like, there's small issues. In the sense, for example, you're looking for somebody with 5 years' experience. This person only has 4. We're going to let you know that. And then ultimately, the ugly would be the sense of you need these requirements, you need these certifications and licenses, and this individual doesn't have any of that. And we're going to summarize it to make it quicker for you. Then we want you to reach out to these individuals quickly. How do you do that? Through our platform. Our platform is going to allow you to send them a message via text message, through email. You can send a calendar invite. You can reach out to these individuals right from your platform via phone, and then ultimately help you set up that first stage, that first interview, as quickly as possible, which obviously benefits the employer and benefits the job seeker as well.
So talking about leveraging these AI tools for employers, what would be your best tips for job seekers for getting hired in this environment, in today's job market? What do job seekers need to know?
So ultimately, if you do not have a profile as a job seeker on Indeed, go to Indeed and take a few moments and set up a profile. put in your information, you know, answer the questions. It's almost like creating a resume, right? Then if you have a profile currently, make sure it's up to date. Too many job seekers, in my eyes, are doing themselves a disservice by setting it and forgetting it. And that's not right, right? If you're learning and growing, you should be documenting that information. And I say learning and growing as a professional, right? Keep that information up to date. Then almost sit back and let smart sourcing do its job. How? Because smart sourcing is going to ultimately alleviate any pressure that you have as a job seeker by creating efficiencies for those employers to ultimately find relevant candidates, i.e. you, and then ultimately bring you relevant jobs. So the jobs that you're looking at are going to be speaking the same language that you're used to using.
Let me ask you to kind of peer into your crystal ball here a little bit, if we could, because, again, we're talking about some of these trends that we're seeing right now. But just like in every industry, AI is sort of in its infancy and we're still learning how we can leverage this. So what does the future hold? What do you see in terms of future hiring trends and how AI will play a role moving forward?
AI is here. AI is not going anywhere, and AI is going to evolve. So we are fortunate enough to work with economists at Indeed, and their research has indicated that virtually every single job will be impacted by Gen AI in some capacity. So AI will continue to evolve, as I just mentioned. So meaning us as HR or technology professionals, we need to evolve with it, right? And what we need to do is be strategic. AI is not going to make that hire for you. AI is going to help you through the process. For example, AI can ultimately help you complete those administrative tasks, ultimately saving you money and time, but also give you time for that human aspect. You need to speak to individuals, and individuals need to speak with you before that full hiring takes place. So again, it's going to help you be strategic, and it's going to be wiser with your time.
Like you said, it is here. It is time to learn more about it because it's only going to be a more crucial part of the process moving forward. Again, Jason Kudrico, Senior Talent Strategy Advisor at Indeed, with us this morning. Jason, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it as well. Have a great day.
Now, having said all of that, obviously, the more job recruiters, hiring recruiters and employers are leveraging these AI tools, the next step will be for job seekers will be making sure you optimize your resume and your job seeking process that is optimized for those AI tools. And this is kind of interesting. A recent paper from NYU, New York University, from journalism professor Hilke Shellman, offers up 5 tips for optimizing your job search, knowing that employers are increasingly using AI tools. Number 1, make your resume machine readable. Number 2, make sure your resume matches the exact keywords in the job description. So something you might not have had to ever really worry about, but exact matches on those keywords are important. Promote your skills, not your schools, she said. And that's actually probably a good idea, whether the employer, potential employer, is using AI or not. But promote your skills, not your schools. Pay attention to the actions you take while interacting with a job platform, whether it's Indeed or LinkedIn or any of those apps. Make sure that you recognize that your behavior on those sites, on those platforms, will be tracked and forwarded to a potential employer, viewable by a potential employer. And as we were mentioning at the outset, consider using generative AI as part of your job search to help you practice your interview skills, to help you polish your resume, etc., etc., etc. It's just all a part of the game now.
Now, the Good Mornings Community and Business Spotlight.
The United Way of Hancock County in the spotlight this morning, and Kelly McClurkin is with us. You've got a big event coming up, the Downtown Chocolate Tour. Is this, what, second or third year for this?
The second one.
Second year. I was thinking, yeah. I'm trying to remember whether it was new last year or the year before.
It was new last year.
So obviously a success because it's back again this year. Give us all the details on this.
So it's United Way's Downtown Chocolate Tour. It is May 11th from 11 to 3. That also falls on Visit Finley's, or I should say Downtown Finley's second Saturday.
Okay.
So a lot of retailers have some specials going on that Saturday. It is the Saturday before Mother's Day. I say that a little slowly because...
I'm guessing that it's not an accident that this fell right in that time frame.
Well, there. It winds up being such a fabulous... Honestly, it's not just for Mother's Day. It's great for the brunch bunch girls, you know, your best friend, spouse. Mm-hmm. But it also happens to be a fabulous gift for fellas for their, you know, young mothers or women who have older... either end of the spectrum.
Sure.
It's just a great thing. Even
just
spouses.
It is.
It's
right
a,
in that time frame.
It is.
So, so how do people get tickets? Give us all of the details on this.
Okay. Tickets are $25, and you can go on our website, uwhancock.org. There on the right-hand side of our page, there is a little Downtown Chocolate Tour button that you can click on.
Okay.
If that is not your thing, if you're not computer savvy, you can certainly call our office, and that number is 419-423-1432. Again, the date is May 11th from 11 to 3. You can pick up tickets, though, Thursday and Friday before, the 9th and the 10th.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, you can certainly call our office and you know, establish a pickup time. Okay. Or the day of the event at Hancock Hotel. That's where, I don't want to say it starts, but it's a good place to start because they usually have some Dora cocktails that you can take along.
All right.
If that's
there
your
you
thing.
Go. So this is not one of those that has a limited number of tickets? Or
we do.
You do have.
Yes.
Okay.
And we do expect to sell out, so I wouldn't wait too long to purchase tickets.
So when we say that you can get them the day of, that is assuming that there are any left.
True. I guess I should have been more clear. Pickup can be day of. So you can purchase your tickets ahead of time. And then head to Hancock Hotel to
Sounds
pick up
good.
Your ticket.
So we talk about this tour and the $25 for the tickets. What does that ticket get you?
So the tickets get you, each patron, you can walk through downtown at your leisure. It's retailers and a few restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to liken it to an adult trick-or-treat. There's a little chocolate-related treat at all of the establishments.
All right.
So last year we had, I think, 28 participants, or retailers and restaurants, and when I say participants.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, it's a pretty good return on investment for your $25.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Great afternoon out there in downtown Findlay.
Yes.
With the Downtown Chocolate Tour on May 11th. Now, the proceeds from this will benefit the Vulnerable Children's Initiative.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
Our Vulnerable Children's Initiative is really dedicated to protect kids and put them on a better path in life. For instance, one of the programs we fund are weekend backpack meals for school-age kids. And I have a little impact story of a child who was signed up for backpack meals and informed their teacher that when they got home, they're put in like grocery bags, actually not backpacks, but like the plastic grocery bags.
Right.
And every time this student got home and their parents heard the crinkling of that grocery bag, they took the food from the child. These are meals and meals and snacks that are all kid-friendly that they can make themselves or put together themselves. So when the teacher heard that, she literally unpacked every week, you know, every Friday from that plastic bag and put everything in her backpack and instructed her what to do when she got home so that she wouldn't, you know, be struggling for food on the weekend.
Wow.
So if that doesn't tell you that, it truly, when they say it takes a village, I don't think we have any idea what our educators go through with children.
It just speaks to the need, the great need in the community.
Yes.
This is an ongoing initiative of the United Way.
It is. A lot of our programming has to do with supporting children. And, you know, children don't have that choice of the path that they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
So this helps give them the resources they need to So, on a better path.
If folks are interested in tickets for the Downtown Chocolate Tour, again, May 11th is the date. Right. Like you said, you want to get the tickets sooner rather than later because it may very well sell out.
That's right.
How do folks do that?
They are on sale now.
Okay.
And you can go to our website, uwhancock.org. And again, if you would rather give us a call, 419-423-1432, you can do it that way too.
Kelly McClurkin with the United Way of Hancock County in the spotlight this morning. Kelly, thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Community and Business Spotlight is a promotional advertisement paid for by the featured sponsor.
It's going to be a very nice weekend for some spring cleaning. Hint, hint. A reminder that the bulk trash drop-off site is going to be open for Findlay residents beginning tomorrow. And on Monday, you are invited to move with the mayor and help clean up Riverside Park at the same time. Project manager Jacqueline Holman is with us this morning from the mayor's office. First of all, let's talk about the bulk trash drop-off site. I can imagine that there will probably be a lot of folks who are out doing their spring cleaning this weekend. Give us the details on this. Where it is, when it's open, all of that pertinent stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So the bulk trash drop-off, as you said, will start tomorrow. It's held at our Public Works Department, which is at 330 North Corey Street. And beginning tomorrow through next Saturday, April 27th, citizens of Findlay are able to come and drop off any bulk trash they have. And on each Saturday, we'll have drop-off for tires. And this has been a pretty successful event, so we're excited to be doing it again this year. We started it last year, and we're continuing it on.
Now, there are some things that you will not be able to accept, correct?
Correct. So that kind of includes hazardous materials, commercial tires is one, concrete, appliances, electronics. And if the tires are still in the rim, we can't take those.
Okay.
I know our office has also gotten some calls about, hey, can we drop off, you know, old paint and whatnot. You will have to contact Litter or Landing directly for that. We weren't able to offer that, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. So some of those things that are excluded. But as you mentioned, with the tires specifically, that will be a limited drop off on the tires as well.
Yes. Yep. So that's just on the Saturdays, and the Saturday hours are 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay.
And then Monday through Friday, it's 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
For everything else. And also, yep. What about green waste, yard waste, and that's a different drop off, right?
Yes. So our green waste site is open all summer long. I believe it opened on April 2nd this year, and won't close until late in the fall. And that's a daily drop-off, if you will, during those same hours that we have listed here. That's available at the Public Works Department, and you can just go in and drop off your, you know, twigs and limbs and leaves and yard trimmings and whatnot.
Yeah, so, but make sure that you don't confuse the two, because we don't want green waste at the bulk trash drop-off site or vice versa. Yes. So make sure that you get the right stuff to the right spot. And again, as we mentioned, then coming up on Monday, which is Earth Day, you've got a special move with the mayor planned.
Yeah, so we organize these Move with the Mayor events. It's with the National Heart and Health Forum, just encouraging people that even any type of activity in their daily routine is beneficial for their health. So we're combining that this week on Monday with a litter cleanup. You know, our Blanchard River is a great asset to this community, and we are looking forward to cleaning up the banks in the Riverside Park area. That'll be Monday from 5:30 to 6:30, and it's in partnership with the Blanchard River Watershed Partnership, and they provide kind of litter cleanup kits. So there will be gloves and trash bags and actually like little sticks that have claws on the end.
Oh,
of them,
yeah, so the little pointy, claw sticks. Those are cool. I think I'd come out just so that I can use those, because those are really cool.
Right. Yep, we had fun with it last year.
So all of that is provided, and meeting at the band shell, right?
Correct. Yes, correct.
And that is on Monday to move with the mayor and help clean up the Riverside Park and Blanchard River area there at Riverside at the same time. So you've got more information on the City of Findlay website on all of this, right?
Correct. City of Findlay One site. We'll have all of this information. And then you can also always go to our Facebook page. We post pretty frequently on there all the information you need. You can message us or email us, and we'll get back to you.
All right. So, again, if you're doing your spring cleaning this weekend, going to be a great weekend for it. This is information you want to know. We have a link on our webpage as well. And Project Manager Jacqueline Holman from the Findlay Mayor's Office with us this morning. Jacqueline, thanks very much for the info. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Chris.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A man convicted of breaking into condos in the Lake Tahoe area and rubbing women's feet as they slept will be headed to prison. Now, I seem to recall, now that I think about this, I seem to recall this story back in the broken news last summer. That is when 26-year-old Mark Anthony Gonzalez of Atwater, California, reportedly broke into two condominiums in the Lake Tahoe area through unlocked screen doors and rubbed the feet of two women before getting away. You remember that story? He just broke into the condos, didn't steal anything, just rubbed these women's feet, and then took off. Well, on Wednesday, Mr. Gonzalez was sentenced to 8 years in prison. He was convicted of two counts of residential burglary. Even though he really didn't burgle anything, he just rubbed their feet. 8 years in prison. I saw that story, and the first thought, the very first thought that crossed my mind when I saw that story, man, I would not want to be his cellmate. Know what I mean? Would not want to be his cellmate. Elsewhere in the broken news, this from Fall Creek, Wisconsin, where a woman is looking at charges after police say she shot at her boyfriend because he didn't have his taxes done. I know tax deadline day can be very stressful, but this is maybe taking it to an extreme. Prosecutors filed formal charges against Lily Hawkinson yesterday. They say she fired one shot near her boyfriend's ear on Monday and then fired a second shot at him as he was walking away from their home. Police say Ms. Hawkinson's blood alcohol level was 2.5 times the legal limit when she was arrested. The boyfriend said that she was angry because he had not finished filling out his tax forms. Well, you got to take this seriously. I mean, you definitely have to take this seriously, but that may be taking it to an extreme. She is now facing a charge of recklessly endangering safety, disorderly conduct, and weapons charges. There is no word on whether he actually got his taxes done on time. So, let's see. Speaking of gunplay, a Florida man placed under arrest after allegedly firing a gun during a dispute with his neighbor reportedly asked officers if he could crack open a cold one while he was being arrested. Officers confronted Brett McPeak outside of his home and asked him to show his hands. Keep your hands where I can see them. To which Mr. McPeak replied, "Okay, but I'm going to crack this beer, okay?" And he went on to explain to the officer that the beer was still cold, so you want to drink it before while it was still cold. I can understand that. No one wants warm beer. Officers declined to acquiesce to his request. He is being charged with aggravated assault with a firearm and using a firearm while under the influence of alcohol. Ask if you can crack open a cold one while you're being arrested. That's bold. Let's see here. Not a candidate for Mother of the Year, Lakeisha Woods Williams of somewhere in Texas. I'm not sure exactly where in Texas, But apparently Ms. Williams allegedly left her two kids home alone to go on a cruise. A neighbor who saw her leave became concerned because he didn't see the kids leave, and then later learned that the 8- and 6-year-old were home alone, contacted authorities. Police arrived at the apartment to find the home in complete disarray, with trash and leftover food all over the unit. The kids told police that mom had gone on a cruise, but she was watching via webcam. Oh, well, then that's fine. She was watching, keeping an eye on him with the webcam. Sure. The children were released to the custody of a relative, and Ms. Williams is facing charges related to child abandonment when she gets back from her cruise. Right? Not Mother of the Year. She is not in the running for Mother of the Year anymore. And finally, in the broken news this morning, police are looking for... This is a crazy story. Police are looking for a man who attempted to carjack two people Wednesday night in Nashville. Now, get a load of this story. It all started about 10 p.m. when the suspect approached a man at a McDonald's drive-thru. The man refused to exit his car, refused to give up his car, and the suspect shot him. After that, the suspect then tried to carjack another vehicle belonging to a woman elsewhere in the parking lot. But this is where it gets crazy. The victim of the shooting, who is expected to survive, by the way, he's going to be okay. He's going to recover. But the victim of the shooting allegedly saw this happening, that the would-be carjacker tried to steal someone else's car, and he gunned his engine, struck the suspect with his car, and then helped the woman escape, all after he had been shot. Wow. Now that is the definition of a hero right there. Police say the suspect got away, but would likely have serious injuries from being hit by the car. And so they're pretty confident they'll be able to eventually catch up with him, figure out who this was, take him into custody. But how crazy is that, and how heroic is that to help out a total stranger after you have been shot, fend off carjacker? Kudos to this guy. And story doesn't have his name, right? I wish that I had the name of the guy who was shot, because I feel like we really should give him proper credit there. But there you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Glentz with OSU Extension. It's planting season. Drivers will be sharing roads with tractors and farm machinery. Be alert for slow-moving vehicles, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this spring to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. New survey from reviews.org finds that the average American checks their cell phone 144 times a day. 144 times a day. And all of that clicking and scrolling comes at a cost. Not only do we spend the equivalent of 65 days a year staring into that little glowing rectangle, think about that, 65 days a year staring at our phones, as bad as that is on its own, is like nearly 57% of people admit that they're addicted to their smartphone. As bad as that is on its own, it is even worse because we are not letting, I don't know, a little thing like operating a moving vehicle stop us. Survey out earlier this month from Nationwide Insurance finds 92% of Americans believe that cell phones have made driving more dangerous. And yet we still can't break free of our addiction to this. 92% agree that cell phones have made driving more dangerous. This poll of commercial drivers, people who drive for a living, like truck drivers and such, finds one-third of commercial drivers admit to feeling distracted while behind the wheel, and 60% of them say that they have seen their colleagues hauling down the road while not keeping an eye on the road. 55% say that they are distracted by GPS systems, but the survey also showed that 36% are driving while sending or reading messages from work. That's not just personal stuff. It is, and that can be even tougher, especially if you're a commercial driver. You're thinking this could be important from, you know, the cab of your truck, or your driver's seat is your office. And so you get a message from work. You feel like you have to address it right away, even if you're behind the wheel. Now, 36% admit that they send or receive messages from work while driving. 27% say that they are just talking or texting on their phones. 13% are checking social media, which, man, I can't tell you how dangerous that is. And I don't think I need to. I think we all know how dangerous this is. And yet again, 57% of us, or nearly 57%, say we're addicted to our phones. We just can't help ourselves, even though we know that it's dangerous. And despite all of this, this is the most ironic part of the survey. 8 in 10, even with all of this, 8 in 10 respondents say that they are safe drivers. Yeah, it's always the other idiot, right? It's never us. It's always the other idiot. My wife, Kyra, has joined us in the studio once again to finish up the week, as is traditional, with another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're putting a new twist on a familiar favorite.
Yes.
This morning. And I mentioned a little bit earlier that this is one of those that when you hear the twist, you'll think, wow, why didn't I think about this? Yeah. You know, why didn't I think of this?
Because
it's kind of a no-brainer.
No-brainer. Yeah, why not?
This is a recipe for bacon cheeseburger meatloaf.
Yes. So one of our good friends messaged me, and he was like, you need to try this on Kyra's Kitchen. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he was like, and let me know how it is. And I was like, I'll give you some. And we did that yesterday because this makes a lot of meatloaf.
It does.
It does.
It is plenty for an entire family, for sure.
It is.
Or plenty of leftovers.
Yes.
The bacon cheeseburger meatloaf.
Yes. So 1 pound ground beef, 1/2 pound of ground sausage, 8 slices of bacon cooked and crumbled, 1 cup of sharp cheddar cheese shredded, 1/2 cup of breadcrumbs, 1/4 cup of ketchup, 4 tablespoons of mustard, 2 tablespoons of brown mustard, 2 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, 1 onion finely chopped, 2 cloves of garlic minced, 2 eggs beaten, and salt and pepper to taste. And I didn't even really use a whole lot of salt and pepper.
Well, I wouldn't think that you would need it with all of the other stuff there.
The mustard has plenty, you know, so.
Right. The garlic, the onion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you really do not need a whole lot of
sauce.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then for the topping is 1/2 cup of ketchup, 1 tablespoon of mustard, and 2 tablespoons of brown sugar. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees in a large bowl. Mix together your ground beef, your pork, your crumbled bacon, your cheddar cheese, your breadcrumbs, your ketchup, and your mustard, and your sauce, and your onions, and your garlic, and your salt, and your pepper. Just mix it all together.
All together.
Take off the rings and use the hands and mix it all together.
Right.
That's the easiest way. Then transfer the mixture. I use my iron skillet, shape it in to fit. And then in a small bowl, mix together your ketchup, your mustard, and your brown sugar. Spread that mixture over top of the meatloaf. Place the meatloaf in the oven and bake for about 1 hour or until the meatloaf was cooked through and the toppings are caramelized. Let the meatloaf rest for about 10 minutes before slicing. Serve warm enjoy.
Yeah.
It's really yummy.
Yeah. Now, a couple of things. Obviously, the bacon is the twist.
Yes.
But also, you added or mixed the ground beef with the sausage.
Right.
So, actually, another little twist
yes.
there that you do with the meatloaf, and it adds...
Yeah. Just add some... flavor.
Some extra flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, to it. So,
yes.
the ground beef and ground sausage.
Yeah.
Along with the... the bacon and the cheddar cheese,
yes.
and man, it is yummy.
It is. It's really good.
Bacon cheeseburger meatloaf. I would actually say, and we mentioned it's a cup of cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
You could probably even use a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't want to say you couldn't taste the cheese.
Yeah.
You knew it was in there, but a little bit more would not even be a problem.
No.
So,
no. Add as much cheese as you like.
I would add a little bit more into that. So along with the bacon cheeseburger meatloaf, we have a recipe for Parmesan roasted asparagus with tomatoes and balsamic vinegar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Balsamic glaze.
Balsamic glaze.
So
okay.
This was another recipe that one of my coworkers was like, hey,
okay.
This is really good. Her daughter loves to cook. And so I was like, okay. So
I'll steal this recipe.
Yes. So, so it's one bunch of asparagus trimmed, one pint of cherry tomatoes halved, 2 tablespoons of minced garlic, 1/2 cup of shaved Parmesan, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1/4 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper, dried basil to taste, and balsamic glaze. So preheat your oven to 425 degrees and line a large baking sheet with your parchment paper. Toss the tomatoes, minced garlic, and 1 teaspoon of olive oil together in a bowl. Season with salt and pepper to taste, then set it aside. Next, cut off the ends of your asparagus and you still want them to be nice and long, so just cut off the ends.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cut them in half. Just cut off the ends. And then you're going to toss them with a quarter teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper and 1 tablespoon of olive oil. Then you're going to arrange them horizontally on your prepared baking sheet. Sprinkle with your Parmesan cheese evenly over the asparagus. Then top each one of those with one of your tomato halves.
Mm-hmm.
Then place in the oven and roast for about 12 to 15 minutes or until the asparagus and the tomatoes are nice and tender. Once done, sprinkle basil over the tomatoes and drizzle with your balsamic vinegar and or glaze,
mm-hmm.
and then serve immediately.
Yeah. Mm. Good stuff.
So, and if you make your own balsamic glaze, you can do that, or you can just get it at the store too. So
and no one needs to know.
Nope. It's both of them are really good.
Bacon cheeseburger meatloaf, the Parmesan roasted asparagus with tomatoes and balsamic glaze, and for dessert. Cupcakes, but with a twist.
Yes.
Again, a twist here. These are Dole Whip cupcakes. If you are a fan of Dole Whip, and if you aren't, the only reason that anyone would not be a fan of Dole Whip is if you have never had it.
Yeah.
But if you have, you know how
good.
Yummy it is.
Yes.
These are Dole Whip cupcakes.
Yes. So one box of either white or yellow cake mix, 1/2 cup of crushed pineapples, 1/2 cup of water, 1/4 cup of pineapple juice, and 1/4 cup of orange juice, and 2 eggs. That's for the cupcakes. Then for the icing, that's 1 cup of butter at room temperature, 4 cups of powdered sugar, 1/3 cup of heavy cream, and you want that to be cold, 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, and 2 tablespoons of pineapple gelatin powder.
Note that there's no oil
in this.
When
no
you're
oil.
Making
yeah.
your cake mix.
No,
I mean,
you're not
no
following
oil.
The box
yeah.
instructions. You're,
right.
So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Line your cupcake tins with 24 cupcake liners. In an electric mixer, combine the cake mix, the pineapple, the water, the orange juice, and the eggs. Fill each cupcake liner with 2/3 full of about 3 tablespoons into your tin. And you're going to bake those for about 20 minutes or until the top springs back when lightly touched, or insert it with the toothpick. And if it comes out clean,
right.
it's ready
yep.
to go. allow them to cool, and then you can frost your cupcakes with your buttercream. So in a large bowl, add to room temperature your butter. Beat with the electric mixer until creamy. Add your powdered sugar and slowly mix until ingredients are fully combined. Then whip at high for 2 to 3 minutes or until light and fluffy. Then add your heavy cream, your vanilla extract, and your gelatin powder. Then whip for an additional 2 to 3 minutes. And that's what makes the whip, you know, your Dole
nice
Whip.
Fluffy there.
Make it nice and fluffy or until light, and then add additional heavy cream as needed to reach your desired consistency, and then use that to decorate your cupcakes.
Yeah. Now, mind you, this is a buttercream frosting, right. So they will need to be refrigerated. Right. Not going to sit out on on the counter.
That and the heavy cream. You want to refrigerate them.
So, but they are absolutely scrumptious. The bacon cheeseburger meatloaf, the Parmesan roasted asparagus with tomatoes and balsamic glaze, and the Dole Whip cupcakes.
Yes.
That is a winning trio of recipes there, and those are posted on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, are they not?
Yep.
All right. Go to Kyra's Kitchen on Facebook, at Kyra's Kitchen, WFIN on Facebook, for those recipes. They are also linked up at our webpage at goodmornings.net. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That, of course, goodmornings.net. Check us out online. Coming up Monday morning, from loud budgeting to cash stuffing, there are all kinds of gimmicks and trends out there that claim to help people better manage their money. Are they really fresh ideas or just catchy new names for the same familiar advice? So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.